And I tell you, after that storm yesterday, we needed a solid rock, didn't we? Praise the Lord for His protection and safety. I hope everybody did all right and you weren't caught out in it. You must not have blown away. You're here today, so praise the Lord for that. All right, let's stand and sing number 272. We'll sing first, second, and last verses, The Solid Rock. Says is going to be the wrath and judgment of God on this earth. And then God's going to take us home to a new place, to a place that's called heaven. And isn't it hard to believe that after the terrible storms and the surrounding areas that took place and the flooding yesterday, look how pretty it is out there. And I mean, that's just God, isn't it? And that's kind of the way it's going to be. There's going to be judgment, but thank God after that judgment's taking place, there's going to be the peace of God and the joy of heaven. For those that know Christ as their Savior. So what a blessing that is. What a spiritual lesson. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians, he said, hath not nature itself taught you? And one of the greatest Bible teachers there is nature. So praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for his blessings. Let's remember the special needs in prayer. Let's continue to pray for Sister Parsons. Let's pray for Brother Junior. Is Brother Junior doing pretty well today, Sister? Keep praying for Brother Junior. Let's pray for Miss Jackie as she has, I believe she said she broke her ankle and she's wearing a cast all the way up her leg. So she's having a rough time right now. Let's keep praying for her. Any other prayer requests today? Anybody? Unspoken request, raised hand. Lord knows all about that. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Brother Bill, you lead us in prayer today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to be here in God's house today. But Lord, thank you for your people that are here, dear Lord. And, you know, every burden, every heart that's here today, dear Lord. And even though they're not spoken as such, dear Father, you know our hearts, dear Lord. Dear Lord, the deepest desires of our hearts, dear Father, I pray that you bless, dear Lord. I pray that we can stay in your precious will, dear Father. Help us through the service today, dear Father. To be able to follow your will, dear Lord. Bless the message today. That's the singing of the Lord, and we do want to give you the praise, honor, and glory for all that you do to the servant in Christ's name.
Amen. All right, amen. We'll let you be seated, and you pray for the choir as they sing at this time, okay?
All right. Choir number 5. Page number 5, I will stroll over heaven.
If I could count all the best graces of beauty not to see here below. But diamond treasures have kept us making plans, as you know. Until the morning of rapture, together never will be. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all the troubles and heartaches are truly vanished away.
I am thine, O Lord, 314. 314. We'll sing the first and second.
Amen.
And then we'll come back on the last. 314 as we stand and sing.
Thank you.
me nearer, nearer, oh blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 oh blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. Thank
all
you,
right,
baby.
Thank you. Let you be seated. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Now, let me tell you something. You just be really careful today, because we got a little man over here sitting all by himself studying some things very intently. So he does not need to be disturbed, okay? I'm giving you fair warning here, okay? So he ain't got that leverage yet, but woe be unto that day. He's over there saying, amen, amen, nodding that head, amen. All right. I've said this many times. We're saying, Lord, we'll make a Baptist out of him. You make a Christian out of him. And that'll be good, won't it? All right. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. Good to see Jimmy with us in the service. Appreciate him being here today. And then got to meet Michael Milam, right? And it's good to have you in the service today. Appreciate you coming today. All right. You be sure and pray for Miss Teresa as she sings. And if you want to go ahead, you can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll be doing the chalk talk in just a moment.
I'm not sure of what tomorrow may bring. I'm not sure if I'll be able to sing. And I don't know what this whole world may do, but I know that you'll be there to see me through. He'll be there to see me through my darkest hour. What he's promised, he has never failed to do. There's no reason I should ever doubt his power. When I need him, he'll be there to see me through. Who am I that God should take time for me? Yet he listens and he answers each plea, that he loved me is plain to see. That's the reason Jesus died on Calvary. He'll be there to see me through my darkest hour. What he's promised, he has never failed to do. There's no reason I should ever doubt his power. When I need him, he'll be there to see me through.
Amen. All right. Thank you, sister, for that song today. All right. Brother Julius, I need your help.
Tonight, maybe we'll get Miss Pam to let us know how things are standing with our point systems and how everybody's doing on bringing visitors and things like that. And so we appreciate you working and inviting. We want to pray for next Sunday, especially that the Lord give us a good day. We'll have dinner together after the service, and then a 2:00 service. And young people, especially, we're trying to get to come. We want to use that opportunity of an Easter egg hunt to get people to come and to come to church and to hear the Word of God. They're not going to hear about Easter bunnies. They're going to hear about Jesus. And so that's what Easter's all about. But we're going to have fun too. We want to have fun. I think that's very important. If you can look at if the church today doesn't have fun, who should have fun? If the world has more fun than we've got, we got problems. So we want to pray for a good day next Sunday. So keep that in mind. If you will, invite some folks. Pray for a good day. I especially pray that we'll have a good day as far as the weather is concerned, because we want a good, pretty day so we can have our Easter egg hunts and all that good stuff. But I tell you, I don't know, there's just something about a dark, dreary, dismal, rainy Easter that just doesn't feel like Easter. And so pray the Lord will give us a nice, pretty day for that, okay? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me bring you up to speed where we are in our series that we're doing. The series is on the subject of judgment. What does the Bible say about judgment? And there's lots of things the Bible says about judgment, so I want you to understand we're not being exhaustive here, okay? We are dealing with four principal areas of judgment, not necessarily negative. The first week I took us to Calvary. What does the Bible say about the judgment of sin? Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that's how you're going to heaven. That's how I'm going to heaven. We're going to heaven because of the work that Jesus did upon Calvary. Sin was judged at Calvary. I do not have to go to hell. I can go to heaven because I've trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross, and there on that cross, he said, "It is finished." That means that everything necessary for me to go to heaven was taken care of when he died on that cross. And when he said, "It is finished," he bowed his head. The Bible says that he gave up the ghost. And so now my sins have been pardoned. As far as the east is from the west, there's forgiveness. And it's all done because of the judgment of sin at Calvary. So that's a very positive thing for me and for you. Then I talked about last week the judgment of self. There comes a time where Christianity must apply to every individual. Christianity is just not something that belongs to masses of people. People say we're a Christian nation. Well, no, not necessarily. We're not necessarily a Christian nation. America was founded on Christian principles. For people to say that that the United States was not built on Christian principles does not know history. They don't know it. True history is understanding the fact that people left one country to come to another country for religious freedom. Okay? And we have a problem today because now we have a government right now that doesn't want us to have religious freedom. Now everybody else has religious freedom, but Christians are not having religious freedom. That's a tragedy. And we are seeing persecution again as far as Christianity is concerned. Not supposed to be that way. Our nation was founded based upon the principles of every religion, if you will, having the freedom of worship. And when you exclude one, as Christianity is trying to be excluded today, then we have an unfair system. But now it comes to the fact that I have to realize that Christianity is not a masses thing, it's an individual thing. And Calvary, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and there comes self-judgment. I must realize I need Christ. I need to be saved. It's not, old spiritual says, it's not me, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So that's what we're talking about here. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to look at a third type of judgment. This judgment is going to be called, and I'm going to go ahead and just put it on the chalkboard now while I'm able to do so. And it's the principle. What does the Bible say about the judgment of sin, the judgment of self? Now let's look at the judgment of the servant. The judgment of the servant. Now, when we got saved, when we trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, something happened over here. When we got saved and became Christians, God gave something to us. God gave us a stewardship. Now, what is a stewardship? A stewardship is you have been given something to manage on behalf of another person. Okay? Every one of us. Now, in other words, you say, well, I don't understand that principle. Yes, you do. You work a job. When you are given a job, you are expected to carry out the wishes and desires of your employers as they have so dictated to you. That's stewardship. And if you do not carry on proper stewardship, then they're going to come to you and they're going to say, all right, you're fired. All right, you're going to get the pink slip because you have not done what you're supposed to do in the area of stewardship, of carrying out the desires and wishes, if I may use an Old Testament term or even New Testament. You are not carrying out the desires of your master. Okay? We would use the word employer, but we'll use the word the Bible says. Okay? So we have a stewardship. We're to carry out some things the way our employer, our master, if you will, has told us to do. So that's stewardship. So when we get saved, we have a stewardship. Now, how do we take from the time of our salvation until the time of our death? We are servants. If you're saved, now we're talking about people who are saved. You are a servant. Okay? Who is our master? The Lord Jesus is our master. And we have a life. I don't know how long our lives are, but from the time of our salvation, I was saved when I was 15 years of age, and from the time of my salvation until this time right now, I have a lot to answer to God for. Because I've had a long life of being a Christian. Okay? But the Bible gives us a little help to understand some of these things. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to begin reading with me. And we'll look at verse number 9 and read down a little bit. Okay, verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now let's look at verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, and he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. All right, so we're going to stop right there for a moment. We're going to talk about these different things as far as one day, okay, whatever, one of these days, every single person is going to stand before God, okay? Doesn't matter whether somebody, I know a young lady right now in our Christian school, she is in our Christian school, we teach Christian principles, we teach the Bible, but I've talked to her one-on-one, and she has told me very plainly, she says, I am not a Christian, nor do I believe in Christianity, nor do I believe the Bible. Girl's about 16 years old. That's awfully definite as far as youth to be that so affirmed that she does not believe Christianity, in God, in the Bible, in Jesus Christ, etc. But where she is. Now, and that's fine. I mean, that's her thing. Now, that doesn't mean we're in our school. It doesn't mean we're not going to be telling her the gospel. It doesn't mean that we're going to say, oh, we're not going to share our faith with you. You know, no, we're going to still share our faith. We're going to still preach. We're going to still teach. She's still going to have it in her curriculum. It's all going to be there. Okay. Now, she has to make a decision, and that decision is going back to here. There comes a time where you got to get to this place. Okay. Because this has been taken care of already. This is where every person has to be. And then, when you become a Christian, then there comes a very special time. One day, you and I, as Christians, if you're a Christian today, then you're going to, and I'm going to, stand one day before God. Okay? Now, the Bible talks about it and calls it the judgment seat of Christ. There's another thing in the Bible. We're not going to talk about that today. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is what's also called by some Bible teachers as the Bema. And the Bema was a place where, if you go back to the early games, to the Olympic games, they had a race. As you remember, they had the Olympic Games and that type of thing. People were always very big on the games, and especially certain games. And one of the favorite games of the time was racing. We're talking about foot racing. Okay? And so they would run. Well, there would be a place, an extended, an uplifted place, okay, where a man who was a judge would sit. This was called the Bema seat. And the Bema seat would be where a judge would watch, and he could see the entire track. He could see where everybody was running. Okay? And he would watch that. And the reason he would watch that was because he could see if somebody were cheating. Okay? And so he would watch, and if somebody failed, he could see that. If somebody tripped someone, he could see that. If something was going on wrong, he could see that. If somebody took a side course and tried to get around the regular pathway, he could see that. Okay. And that was called the Bema seat. And that's where, there is a judge, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he watches the lives of Christians. And he watches my life. Now understand something, that if I'm saved, let's go back here for a second. Sin is taking place here. Sin is judged right here. I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. This is applied to my life, and sin has been judged and forgiven and washed as far as the east is from the west. God has taken it. It's under the blood. Okay? Now, when I come to this place, I am not going to be judged for sin. Sin was taken care of right there. Some people think when I'm a Christian and I go to heaven, I'm going to be judged for this sin. That No. Because your sin was taken care of here. Here, if there's sin in my life, once I've accepted Christ as my Savior, I have to deal with sin personally. I have to deal with sin each day of my life. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. It also says that if we take in 1 John, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there must be a confession time, John 1:8-9. So there's got to be that time in our lives where we come to that. So that takes place here. But when we pass on, there's going to be a time where every single believer is going to have to answer to the Lord for our lives and what we did down here on this earth. I like to quote that old song, that old spiritual. It says, just one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's very true. We do not have too much longer left on this earth. When you look at eternity and you see how long eternity is, then it's amazing. We don't have much time. When you take eternity, as I like to use the example, you got somebody like Sister Parsons. And Sister Parsons, 99 years of age. But if you take 99 and compare that to eternity, that's a drop in the bucket. That's not long at all. Okay? However long you may live on this earth, okay? I saw in the newspaper, it was after the fact, unfortunately, but that a lady that my wife and I had pastored 10 years ago, she had died. Didn't know about it till after she was buried, and I saw the follow-up obituary in the paper, and she was 68 years of age. She was not an old woman at all. The closer you get to 68, you're young, you know. And so she passed on, but we pastored that lady, and she had health issues. 68 years of age is not very old at all, but still, it doesn't matter if you're 99 or 199 or 68 or 2068. It really doesn't matter. Because we all will stand before the Lord one day, and we're all going to give an account to the Lord. Okay? So we got to keep that principle in mind. Now, when we get there, how are we going to see the principle given to us of judgment in this principle here of the servant? The judgment of the servant. Well, here Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay? And he talks about the fact that there's going to be two categories. Okay? Two categories are going to be dealt with at what we call the Bema, or the judgment seat of Christ. And here they are. He says in verse 12, he says, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Here are two classifications. Let's talk about one of them right now. Let me put right over here, I'm going to put, and I'm going to just put a drawing of some sticks. And those sticks represent wood, okay? And then I'm going to take and I'm going to put something here that kind of resembles a bale or a stack of hay. So we'll put that down there also. And then it says stubble. And stubble, I'm not 100% sure what stubble is supposed to represent. But let's put down just some little old fragments of something over here, you know, and we're going to call that stubble. Okay? Now, if you were talking about, and he talks about building a house. If you were going to build a house, could you build a house successfully with any of those items right there? Could you build it? You say, well, yeah, I can build a house out of wood, but yeah, but what happens when something comes like that storm that came through yesterday? That's not going to, not many wood houses are going to hold up under that pressure. And you know, with that kind of wind, you know the hay is not going to do anything. And stubble are just bits and pieces. So you've got all kinds of problems. Now, what's it talking about? If any man build upon this foundation, well, what do you reckon are things that would not hold up to God's scrutiny? Because here's the thing also that we have to realize, that the Bible is talking about here. He brings up in the next little bit, he says, for everyone's work shall be tried with fire. And when we get to, now here we are living down here on this earth, okay? Living down on this earth, we are human beings. Can I be honest and share this with you? That people like to put on shows. Okay? People like to go to church. Some churches, that's all they do. They go and they just flaunt their stuff. Okay? They like to dress, and I have no problem dressing nice, don't misunderstand me. But they think, well, I got to go to church. I got to make sure I look good. Okay? And then when they get to church, they like, some churches in their Sunday school classes don't do anything but just tell stories and how was your fishing trip and how are your kids doing or are they graduating from school this year? And they spend about, you know, out of a 45-minute class, they'll spend 40 minutes talking about stuff. And they take about 5 minutes and touch a little bit of Bible. Well, that's not right. Okay. Some people like to get up and they like to, you know, they like to, you know, put on shows. They like to put on a performance. You know, some churches are going to have, and please, I'm not trying to be harsh and critical. Understand where I'm coming from. There are some people that they're going to put on this great performance twice a year, Christmas and Easter. They have Christmas cantatas and Easter cantatas, and they turn out some beautiful performances and different things like that. And I'm not trying to be harsh. Here's what I'm trying to say. If a person is doing what they're doing to show off, then you know what you qualify that is? Wood, hay, stubble. Okay? Somebody says, oh, well, I'm a Christian. Well, how do you know you're a Christian? Well, I've been baptized. And? No, that's all. Just been baptized. Well, if you didn't get past this part here, this is going to burn up. This is going to burn up. Somebody says, well, I don't go to church, but, you know, I give money, I give donations. I give big donations every year. Well, that's nice. But you know what? You can flash your credit card when you get ready to go through the pearly gates, but Jesus isn't taking them. You can write a check and say, now, Lord, how much do I put down here? Well, nothing, because you can't pay your way through. Why is that's what? Wood, hay, and stubble. Okay. Somebody says, well, are you going to heaven? Well, I'm trying. You don't have to try. He did it. And because he did it, I have to do it. I have to trust him as my Savior. So I don't have to say, well, I'm trying to get there. I don't have to say that. Because I don't. If I can do anything to get into heaven, then I didn't need him. But I need him.
I need him to do everything that he did because he's the one taking me to heaven. So I say, well, I'm trying to get to heaven. I'm trying to pull myself up by my bootstraps. Well, you know, that sounds great, and I appreciate you trying, but guess what? It's wood, hay, stubble. All right, what's another thing? Baptism, works. How about church membership? Well, I was a member of the church. Well, did you go? Not much. But I was a member. Matter of fact, I joined about 5 or 6 churches in my lifetime. Surely that's got to count for something. But again, this doesn't have anything to do with being a member of a church per se. You got to be a member of the church, which is the body of Christ. And that's how when you get saved. Okay? So guess what that is? Wood, hay, stubble. Now, when we stand before the Lord one day, the Bible uses this comparison. And it says that it's going to be tried by fire. Well, does that mean that there's literally going to be a bonfire in heaven? Because that's kind of what that looks like. If I draw it like that and add the fire to it, the flames, then it's like, okay, well, this must be a bonfire in heaven. No, that's not what he's talking about. What it talks about, if you remember, we won't turn there, but if you'll turn sometime to the book of the Revelation, the Bible talks about the eyes of the Lord being as a flame of fire. Remember that? That his eye, you know what it reminds me of? It says his eyes are red. Reminds me of laser beams. And when we get to heaven, he's going to penetrate. He's going to look. Here's the whole thing. Here's the whole thing about this thing of wood, hay, and stubble, and then the section I'm going to talk about is this. God is looking to see about my motives. If I went out and did things, why did I do them? Okay. Miss Teresa's asking prayer because of the fact she's going to be doing some walking, and this is for the Cancer Society, right? Well, if I were to ask Miss Teresa and say, why are you going to go and do this? She's going to say, I'm doing it because I want to help bring an awareness to people about the need of cancer. And I have a dear friend that had problems with cancer, and I want to see money raised. There's a motive. And it's a right motive. But if somebody says, well, I'm going to go walk in that race because I want people to see my new shorts. Brand new tennis shoes. And I want them to see how good looking I am. And we'll get some money, but I really want people to see that I am a fine looking human being. See? What's the motive? What's the motive? And we talk about going to church. Why do we go to church? Or why do we try, why do we do what we do? Why do we try to reach people to the Lord or whatever? The motive is all important. Very important what our motive is. And the motive, the wrong motive, is wood, hay, and stubble. Now what's going to happen to this person that I'm drawing? And he stands before the Lord. He's saved. He went here. Now he's here. And now that he's here, he's got to stand before the Lord. And he begins to come up with this. I believe the Bible says this, and I think it has to do with both the judgment seat and then what we're going to talk about another day on the throne judgment. The Bible talks about the fact that there will be tears that God will wipe away in heaven. And the reason there's going to be tears wiped away in this case is because there are going to be people that's going to stand before God that's going to be totally shocked. That when they get to heaven, they're going to realize what they missed out while they were down here. Somebody says, well, I'm down here, I live my life and I do my thing and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. Nobody tells me what to do. I know I'm a Christian, but that's about all it is. And but when we get to heaven, our motive and why we do what we do will be revealed to us, and the question's going to be, and then we're going to say, you know what? God gave me a life. And what did I do while I had that life on earth? And what if we're able to look to God one day and we see the wood, the hay, and the stubble? What if we see it all go up in smoke, and then we realize we said, and we began, as I said a few moments ago, we began to cry. We began to say, oh God, you gave me an opportunity to make a difference while I was on earth, and I blew it. I had an opportunity to impact somebody for heaven, and I did not take advantage of it. That's a tragedy. That's sad. But what's so sad is the fact that we're not going to oftentimes see till we get to heaven, till we get to the judgment seat, and God's going to say to us who are servants, how did you do in your stewardship? I gave you a life. I gave you a wonderful opportunity to share this faith with other people and to get more people into heaven. What have you done with it? There will be many, 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 many that will in that day weep and cry because we were given an opportunity and for 40 or 50 years or whatever, we wasted. Just one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. There are some of us sitting right here in this room, we've got less years ahead of us than we had behind us. Will we weep and cry because we did not make our years count? We have people that are young people here, relatively young people sitting here right now. What is the goal of your life? What are you going to do with your life? Are you just going to just do your thing and live your life and be satisfied with that? Because if you do, if you're saved, then you may be just like they talked about here. That fire is going to take away and consume everything. And the Bible says that in verse 13, every man's work shall be manifest. Everybody's going to see. They're not going to see the sins in my life. They're going to see the service of my life. And they're going to see, if I may use a couple of terminologies, they're going to see how lazy we were. Or they're going to see how sorry we were. We will see opportunities we missed. You see, God is not going to hold us accountable for the sins of omission, like we did not accept the Lord. God's going to get us on the sins of commission, the things we should have done and didn't do. Because that thing's going to burn when it burns. And it's consumed. The Bible says that we shall be, and then it goes on, and let me get the verse right here so I can read it correctly in verse 13. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall reveal and shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, let's skip to verse 15 for a second. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There are people that are going to heaven by the skin of their teeth. They're saved. They're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. But when they get to heaven, they have nothing to present to the Master. And my Bible talks about the fact there's going to be crowns. And that's a whole... I preached a message on crowns a few weeks ago. So I won't even go into that, but what I do want to show you is this, that those crowns are given so that we can turn around and give those crowns back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven and this thing over here, if our wood, hay, and stubble is burned up because we wasted our lives and we have nothing to give back to the Lord of spiritual, eternal value, then the fact of the matter is we're going to be brokenhearted. We're going to cry. We're going to weep. We're going to be upset. There's going to be tragedy in our lives. Why? Because we are going to stand before Him and realize what a waste. What a waste my life has been. Because I did not make my life count for the Master. I believe that's one of the reasons we're going to see people that are going to cry in that day. Because their works will be burned up. They'll go to heaven because of the blood and they accepted Christ. They're going to heaven, but their works, nothing. They wasted. You know what you can't... The more I've studied this thing out, God tells us that we need to do things like capital punishment. He teaches that. And that's a deterrent. But nobody but God has the right to take a human life. Human life is precious. Your life is precious because once the life goes, the life is gone. There is nothing like reincarnation. Reincarnation is not true. You don't come back as a roach. Okay? You don't come back as a bird. You don't come back as a billy goat. And you don't go to India and hang out as a cow. Okay? When life is over, life is over. And if I blew it, I blew it. And God will try whatsoever work it is. But if this is all I've got to show for my life, then I will be saved, but as by fire, because the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. Now let's take a minute and go to the other side. Let's think for a minute . What does the Bible say about this other group? Gold, silver, precious stones. Let me put something like looks like a diamond here for a second. Maybe another one right here to count for precious stones. Okay? And then behind it, let me put a big old heaping amount of gold. Let's put big chunks of gold just like you might find it coming out of the earth. And if we wanted to, we'll not do it. We could put some rubies and some emeralds and different things like that. But I think we have the right idea when we're talking here about something as precious maybe as diamonds or something as precious as gold. Because people will kill you for gold. Of course, people kill you for 20 bucks. Gold is representative of one of the, if not the most precious commodity that's out there of precious natural resources. Our system, our financial monetary system, is supposed to be based upon gold. They say our gold standard is high, our monetary standard is going down, and now people they're literally buying gold. God has always had a premium upon gold. The Bible even talks about that when we get to heaven, the streets of heaven are paved or made out of gold. Now you say, I don't understand that, Pastor, because the Bible talks about that the streets of heaven are going to be crystal clear. And doesn't say anything about gold looking orange like we unearthed it from a mountain or from a mine or something like that. And that's true. That's very true. But I understand this from people that go with or study or go through the process of purifying gold. That if you take gold and if you place gold through a purifying process, I am told that the purifying of gold will turn transparent as glass in its absolute purest form. That means that the gold that we unearth is full of impurities. And it must be because we've dug it right out of the earth. But God is not going to have anything in heaven that defiles. And those streets of gold are clear as crystal. And saved people are going to walk up and down those streets of gold. But now wait a minute. Here is gold, silver, precious stones. What is that talking about? If this is wood, hay, and stubble, it's tried by fire, it's consumed. We talked about church membership, baptism, good works, whatever you want to call it, didn't fly. But over here, it talks about what? It talks about giving your life to Christ. saying, Lord, if you want me to go to the mission field, I go to the mission field. Lord, if you want me to preach the gospel, I'll preach the gospel. Lord, if you want me to work in Christian schools or if you want me to go to a foreign field like Africa or Asia or Thailand or someplace of that nature, if that's what you want me to do, Lord, I'll go. And I'll do exactly what you want me to do. And you do it with the right motive, because motive is still as important here as it is over here. There are some people that like to get the big head. They like to say, oh, look at me, how wonderful I am, and look at me, what a great preacher I am, or look at me, what an awesome teacher I am, or whatever. This motive works over here just as much as it did over there. One day we'll stand before God and we'll have to answer for what? We'll answer for how we lived, what we did. You know, we get discouraged awfully. Awfully often we get discouraged. And we look around and we see people who seem like they got it better than us. And you think sometimes, you know what? I've tried a principle in my life. I've tried to serve the Lord and tried to live for Him, go to church, and I serve in the choir, I teach or whatever. And then I look over here at this rat over here, works on Sunday, never goes to church, and boy, he sure does live a nice life. He drives a brand new car every year, and my old clunker, I got to keep throwing money to it all the time. And boy, his wife and children dress like nobody's business. And I sometimes get a little envious, because I think if I had done the things they did, I would be in a better financial condition than I am now. Did you ever hear the story about the missionary whose wife and children had died on the mission field in Africa because of disease? He buried every one of his family members. And he came home. This was back in the days when President Teddy Roosevelt was in office. And he was on a luxury liner and he was coming home. He was too sick to stay on the mission field anymore, but his family was all buried in Africa. And he was so feeling sorry for himself. And he went out on the deck and he looked, and as they were getting closer to the deck, to the harbor, he saw banners. And he saw a band. Orchestra kind of a band. And he got excited. He said, somebody found out I'm coming home. And they're going to encourage me. And then word got around, and he never knew it because they kept it hidden, that President Roosevelt was on the ship. And they were getting ready to welcome him back from one of his safaris. All the people on the boat had to stay in their cabins until the president had left the boat. And when he finally got off the boat and he looked around, there wasn't anybody there to meet him. Not the first person was there to say to him, we're glad you're here, and we're sorry for your loss, and we're sorry that you've lost all your relatives, and we're sorry, and we're... Not one person was there. And I'll tell you what he said. He looked and he said, oh God, he said, it's just not worth it. He said, I gave my life. He said, I love what I did, but I don't have, nobody's here to meet. Here's what he said the Lord laid upon his heart. The Lord laid upon his heart and said, but son, you're not home yet. Not home. Old song says, you're not home yet, children. And it gets awful discouraging down here, but one day we'll stand before the Lord, and that which is done will be tried by fire. And And the difference is going to come, what happens when every man, the Bible says, every man's work shall be tried as by fire. Then we're going to find out for sure who's going to do the crime. Because that gold and that precious metal is going to stand. It's not going to be consumed. It's going to stand. You know why? Because God's work and God's ministry, and what we do to reach people for Jesus Christ, all the things that we do, that's going to stand, and the fire will burn it, and the fire will try it, and God's eyes will penetrate, and when God penetrates, He sees the motive of the heart, and He sees that our motive was to love Jesus and to serve God, then that will stand. Then we might hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, I don't know if you want to hear it or not. There are multitudes of believing, professing Christians all over the world that don't care. And a lot of times they're more of a detriment to the cause of Christ than they are a help. But all I can do is answer for me. And I want to hear Him say, "Well done." How about you? Let's pray. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." That's what I want to hear. What about you? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Is there anybody here today, you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you were to stand before the Lord now, you would not stand before Him as a servant. You would stand before Him as a soul for whom Christ died. And you would say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? Because I need to make some things right with the Lord. I need to get saved. I need to become a Christian." And you just haven't done it. You'd say, "Pray for me. I need to do it. I need to take care of it. It's an important decision. I need to be saved. And would you pray for me?" Anybody like that, pray for me. I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. More than likely, I probably wouldn't go to heaven. I'd like to pray for you. Anybody like that? Somebody here, you're a Christian. You'd say, "I'd like to hear the Lord say to me, 'Preacher, well done. Help me, Lord, to be the kind of Christian. Help me to finish strong in this life.'" And maybe you're not living for the Lord. Maybe it's time for you to handle that. Take care of that and say, "God, I've wasted my life. And I haven't been serving you like I need to. Haven't been trying to witness. Haven't been trying to win souls. Haven't been inviting people to church. Haven't been trying to pass out gospel tracts. What a waste. What a waste. Just one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Father, I pray that you help us in this hour to commit ourselves to serve you, to love you, to understand the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, where we will answer for our servanthood, for our stewardship. Father, help us to see that the most important thing is not what we do on this earth as far as worldliness is concerned, but what matters is, do we know Christ, number one, and do we serve Him? Try to reach people, number two. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Hymn number?
Number 318, "I Need Thee Every Hour." Number 318.
If you need to come and pray, you come on.
"I need Thee every hour, most precious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh bless me now my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. When Thou art nigh, I
We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. My question is, do we believe it? I sort of doubt it. How many people do you know and I know that if something happened right now, they'd die and go to hell? And what have we done to try to reach them? Have we gotten cold and complacent? Have we got a lackadaisical spirit about us? Seems like when we talk about judgment, seems like when we're talking about the judgment of people that are dying and going to hell, seems like it ought to drive us to our knees and drive us to tears. We talk about wanting to see our churches grow, but you know, I tell you how churches grow. The psalmist said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." It was the last time we cried over our loved ones, and cried over friends and relatives, didn't fall asleep while we prayed. And the Lord help us to understand that principle. Would you be seated, please? Brother Julius and Brother Will, would you move the board, please? All right. Be sure and be in prayer. And as I say, for next week, I just want to have a good day and have a good swarm of young people here and have a good time in the Lord. So let's pray that we might have that next week. And most of all, why do we do what we do? We do it because we want to see people saved. Everything we try to do ought to be around getting people saved. And if we don't do that, hand me my coat, please, Brother Will. If we don't do that, we're missing it. We're not supposed to be a country club. We're supposed to be a soul-winning station. All right, let's pray and receive the Lord's offering. And I'm going to ask Will to pray for us. Appreciate again Michael being here, and it's good to see Jimmy in the service. We appreciate you men coming. Hope you'll come back tonight at 5:00. We'll be continuing on in our verse by verse preaching through the book of Galatians. Hope that you'll be with us tonight as Paul has to do something that
probably most of us wouldn't want to do. He had to call Brother Peter down on some things. And we're going to see that in the first and second chapters. So you be here tonight. God bless you. Have a great day.